I want you to look again this morning, Matthew. We'll begin in chapter 5, and in particular, I want you to notice how often our Lord reminded his disciples that more than anything else, above all else, that they were all first and foremost children of God, that in fact, God was their Father. Take a pen if you have one, and you might want to note these just with a mark. Chapter 5, verse 45 says this, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Also, you'll notice, verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Chapter 6 and verse 1, the last line, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 4 of chapter 6, and thy Father, which seeth in secret. Verse 6 of the same chapter, the last line, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Verse 8 of chapter 6. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Verse 9. Pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven. And then, of course, in verse 14, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, your Father will forgive your trespasses. In the middle of verse 18, the Father which is in secret. And obviously, clearly, beloved, it goes on and on like this, but you get the point. The Lord Jesus emphasized over and over again this glorious truth and this reality of the fatherhood of God. One of the great preachers of the past generation once wrote, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and of having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts his worship and prayers and entire outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity at all. Today, obviously, is Father's Day. It is a time where families remember their earthly father and all that they may have provided in that role. A few months ago, I was talking to my oldest brother, Rick. He had heard me on live stream preaching using some illustration of he and I, all of us growing up as boys. And he said, you know, Jimmy, he said, we were the fun family. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, everybody wanted to be at our house. And everybody wanted to eat our food, and everybody wanted our mom and dad to be their mom and dad. We were the fun family, and I thought it wasn't the fun family when Dad's Air Force belt came off, but for the most part, I agreed. Our experience growing up was that we felt we had the best dad and mom in town, but note this carefully, because the real glory and wonder and miracle for every believer in this room is the eternal truth that our Lord always and constantly affirmed to his disciples and to us that his Father is our Father, that his family is our family, that his home is our home. He said it, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And as the people of God, as the church of God, as the household of faith, being born into this family, being born again into God's family, is what it really means to be a Christian. And so it is, I hope you'll listen very carefully, because it is also why we can speak this morning on this subject. We are the fun family. Let's pray. Father, please help us. Please help us to understand why. So many times, so often, and so emphatically, your Son on this earth reminded his disciples that you are our Father, that his Father is our Father, that your home is our home, and that we are the children of the Most High God. Please speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The model's prayer that some people call the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew 6 is, by the devil's design, one of the most abused and misused portions of Scripture in all the Bible. In fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed the irony of Jesus' warning in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So, you know what the devil does? He takes a glorious text full of spiritual truth, and then he leads millions of heathen to use it as a vain repetition. The very example that Jesus gave against vain repetitions is used as a vain repetition. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name of the kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven. What an irony. And folks, that is not what Jesus wanted us to do with this prayer. You know, there are dozens and dozens of prayers recorded in the New Testament. After this sermon, prayers by Peter and John, James, and later by the Apostle Paul. But you know, never once do they use the words of this text in a vain repetition. Why? Because they understood what Jesus was saying. Because, beloved, that's not how a child talks to his father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that will become. That's not how a child. Children don't speak in ohms and Gregorian chants. You think Ayla goes to her dad and says, Om Dominus Nostri Guacamole, I stub my toe. Of course not. Our Lord gave this model prayer in answer to a question, and in his answer, by the way, filled with wondrous truth, he reminds us of all of the reasons why we're the fun family. What do you mean we? You see the references Jesus gives to, quote, the hypocrites in verse 5 and then that, quote, heathen in verse 7? Folks, that's a reminder that not everyone yet has God as their Father, but you do. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, folks, we don't mean we're the fun family, as in temporal pleasure or amusement. I'm talking about blessedness and joy and hope and love and eternal life. I'm talking about your Father who has these six divine attributes, all of them presented in this one glorious prayer. What are they, Pastor? The first one you'll notice, number one, is verse 9. Our Father is great. Notice verse 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in the White House, our Father which art in the Hall of Fame, our Father which art in Buckingham Palace, our Father which art in the Vatican. Nope. It's not our Father. Do you ever think about that? There is not one single throne or position or location, not a title or a seat anywhere on this earth that would not be a condescension for our Father in heaven. You know, since the very beginning of time, boys on the playground have engaged in this sort of paternal upmanship. My dad is stronger than your dad. My dad's taller than your dad. My dad's smarter than your dad. My dad's richer than your dad. What did the fifth grade firecracker say to the fourth grade firecracker? My pop is bigger than your pop. Over at the elementary school, the kids were taking turns in class the week of Father's Day, explaining, sort of show and tell. They got to come up and tell what their dads did for a living. A little girl got up and she said, my daddy's a firefighter. He puts out fires and he saves little kittens from the trees. Another boy showed up. My father's a doctor. He saves lives and he makes sick people feel much better. And this went on getting more and more good as it went on. And finally, little Johnny stood up terrified and nervous. And he said, my dad is a loan shark and a debt collector and a car salesman at night. And sometimes he's a telemarketer for Wall Street lawyers who deal in opioids. Shocked, his teacher pulled him aside and said, Johnny, is everything you said the truth? And he said, no, I made it up because I'm embarrassed about my dad's real job. She thought, oh my. She said, what does your daddy do? And he said, Johnny began to cry, and he said, he plays for the Miami Dolphins. And of course, the teacher understood. But you know, it's true, little boys, they have this sort of innate yearning and urge to proclaim the greatness of their father over someone else's father. And there's a reason for that. The good news this morning is that your Father really is greater. He is infinitely greater. Who's the fun family? Well, you know what? Line them up, folks. Just line them all up. Baal, Buddha, Krishna, Allah, Shiva, Horus, Zeus, Dagon, Osiris, Odin, Lucifer. Line them up. All of the false gods and imaginary deities of this world do not have an ounce of greatness. And none of them can approach our Father who's in heaven. I was a little boy living overseas in Turkey. I had a teacher in the second grade who taught us a prayer for when we said grace at lunchtime. Public school, base school, but we said prayer. You may have heard it, I'm sure you have. It said simply, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, amen. You know, it was simple enough, but I can remember nights when I would lie awake in my bed and ponder those words, God is great. A little seven-year-old boy, I would wonder just how great He is, and my mind would ponder. Who's great? Mickey Mantle. Oh, he's greater than Mickey Mantle. Wow. To me, that was impressive. And I would think, he's greater than the Lone Ranger. He's greater than our president. And then I remember thinking, God is so great, He's greater than my dad. And you know what, beloved? It wasn't until God became my father. It wasn't until God became my father at the age of 12 that I began to realize how infinite His greatness really is. In fact, when the father of this world, the father of lies, tries to intimidate or boast or threaten, I just remember, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Your Father is great this morning. And you know why we're the fun family? Because number two, your Father is also good. Number one, He's great. Number two, He's good. Again, verse 9 says this, after this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Wait a minute. You know what the word hallowed means, right? It means holy. It means pure. It means righteous. The reason we hallow His name is that His name represents all that He is in holiness and righteousness. See, my second grade teacher's theology was right. God is great. God is good. Would you think about the wonder of this truth for just a moment? God, your Father in heaven, is just as good as He is great. The vast universe that He created with His mere spoken word, that not only shows His greatness, it also shows His goodness. In all of His eternal greatness, He is filled with eternal goodness, and no earthly father is ever like that. I'm reminded of when the rich young ruler came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. And you remember he called him rabbi and he said, good master. And Jesus stopped him right there and he looked at him and said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. And of course our Lord was telling that man not only that he, Jesus, in fact was God deity, but that that ruler who did some good things was not good. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, folks, our Heavenly Father isn't good like my dad was good. My Heavenly Father isn't good like we think we're good here and there. Our Father is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You know, in etymology, the word father really denotes origin. I came from my father. He fathered me. There's the father of modern medicine. As you know, Washington is the father of our country, and so it goes. Can I remind you that God, our Father, is the origin of all goodness? Hollywood did not come up with goodness. Hollywood did not come up with compassion or virtue or righteousness. The media in this country right now, for all of their talk of truth and lying and justice and law and guilt and investigations, you know what? They can thank their lucky stars that we don't all know the truth about them. They didn't come up with goodness. People who don't know the Father don't really know goodness, and that's why they're not the fun family. Have you noticed they're the angry, hateful, dark, destructive family? In fact, what they think is fun is downright depressing. Psalm 32, however, says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are His." Well, guess what? I'm His. I'm His child. And I love to brag to people how good God is, because He's good all the time. Our Father is great. Our Father is good. The third thing you'll notice, number three, our Father is glorious. Verse 10. Jesus said to pray the truth. And what's the truth? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Did you know this morning that your Father has a kingdom? Now look, I know that a lot of fathers have kingdoms in this world. Jennifer Gates, her father's Bill Gates. He has a kingdom. And she one day will inherit some of that kingdom. I don't know if you ever heard of Salman Al-Saud. His father has a kingdom. It's called Saudi Arabia. His brother, Shal El-Sheikh, in six hours, this prince lost $359 million and five of his nine wives playing poker at the Sinai Grand Casino. I'm not kidding. He used them as collateral to borrow another $25 million because he lost so much. And when he lost that, he just left them there and flew back home. $359 million in 6 hours, that's a rich kingdom. And yes, there have been a lot of rich kingdoms in this world, but let me tell you what they're not. They're not verse 13. Notice the last line. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Say the next two words with me. Forever. Forever. You know, King David, after his long and glorious reign over Israel, 40 years, he gave his farewell blessing. Think about that. This is the aged David, ruling in Hebron and then Jerusalem. This man, after God's own heart, is about to pass off the scene. And he's going to give his final words of blessing to the nation of Israel. Here's what he said. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. I can tell you something this morning as a child of the living God. I cannot think of a thing in this world, not one thing in the world that I desire any less than to be the son of a father who has an earthly kingdom. Well, Pastor, my father is the Prince of Monaco, of the royal house of Grimaldi. Awesome. It's all yours. Although I like your pizza. Grimaldi is not bad. Well, I'm Prince Charles, and my father's the Duke of Edinburgh. It's a great British empire. Wonderful, jolly good show, pip-pip, and all that rot, but I don't care. I wouldn't want that kingdom. Because you know what? What good is any earthly kingdom? Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, King Herod murdered to keep a crown on his head. Imagine that. Just to keep this little crown on his head for a few more years, he had family members murdered and hundreds of little infants. And through his life, right in front of him was the King of Glory. His name is Jesus, and of the increase and peace of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And you know something, beloved? His Father is my Father. John Newton contemplated the glory of the British Empire before he died in 1807. And he wrote, "A savior, if of Zion's a city, I through grace a member am. Let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasting, pomp, and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know." Glorious things of thee are spoken. We're the fun family because our Father is great. Our Father is good. Our Father is glorious. Number four, I want you to notice our Father is generous. Verse 11. Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. By the way, there's that prayer again. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. And not just food. Let us thank Him for our family and our homes and our income, our clothing, our health, our nation, our salvation, our church. Every good gift comes from above as a generous God opens His hand in blessing to His children. You know, oftentimes when I hear unbelievers and progressives gripe and complain, when they have nothing to complain about, they take and they take and they take, and all they do is gripe and complain. And many times when I hear them, I watch them indulge in the bounty of God's goodness in this great nation, I think to myself, you know what, you guys, you don't like the Bible, you don't like Christianity, but it's our Father who's granting you your very food. And it's our Father who's granting you the air that you breathe and the health you enjoy. All of that is from the Father of, guess what, our family. And by their simply pointing to planet Earth or so-called Mother Nature for all of those things, they're just really just plain old freeloaders off of our Father. Richard Dawkins flies around this world like a king, reveling in the finest and the finer things of life, and all the while denying the goodness of the one who provides it. He may not like us, but our Father feeds him. Our Father is great. Our Father is good. Our Father is glorious. Our Father is generous. Number five, notice, our Father is gracious. Verse 12. And forgive us, Jesus said to pray. By the way, this is why this is not the Lord's Prayer. He never had to ask for forgiveness for sins. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Wait a minute. Forgive us? Forgive us? Deliver us from evil? Yes, beloved, you see, remembering that this prayer opens with the holiness of God, perfect, no darkness in Him at all, remembering that as sinners, we are a people who need and needed the grace of God. In other words, we didn't get into this family because we're worthy or deserving or better than anyone else. We got in because the Father sent His only begotten Son to pay that debt for us. In fact, that's one of the truly great things about this family. We were all lost. We're all sinners. We're all broken. And we're all destitute in this world. But God, who is rich in mercy. John Owen, the Puritan, was out in the woods collecting sticks for the evening fire, and he noticed. He said that as he gathered them, they were all different in length and weight, knots, crookedness. As he formed a bundle, he solved the challenge of how to get them all back to the house with a common cord. You know, just take all those various broken sticks and bind them together in a single bundle with but one rope. And that night, he wrote in his journal, all of God's varied children are bound in eternity by the one cord of God's grace. That's why there's no room for pride or self-glory in this family of God. We're all sinners saved by grace. See, in the Fun family, God loves everybody. Everybody has God as their same Father. And by the way, that's why mature believers are never impressed by celebrity or by fame. You old-timers have heard me tell how many, many years ago, we were in Michigan serving in our early 20s. I was a youth pastor, and we took a group of teenagers on a bus to a youth rally in Flint, Michigan. And on the ride back, I was leading songs on the bus. We heard some songs there, and we were all singing them, and I was leading the teenagers, and I was wearing this black leather jacket that belonged to one of the boys. I just put it on, and I put sunglasses on. Sort of a Marlon Brando circa 1950 look. Now I'm Marlon Brando 1999, if you know what I mean. So we're riding along, and I'm goofing around, and we stop at Wendy's, and I said to the young people, I said, I tell you what, hey, you guys go in. I'm going to keep the jacket, sunglasses on. And all of you go in. I'm going to come in later. And when I come in, I want you to jump up and start screaming like I'm a celebrity and ask for my autograph. Yeah, I know. I'm pathetic, but I did it. So I walked in. I had three guys, teenagers, be my bodyguards. And I walked in. And all of a sudden, about 20 teenage girls just erupted in screams and shouts, ah, it's him. Him, and they all lined up to get my autograph. But here was the weird thing. Here's my young people asking for my autograph, and starting to get in line are all these strangers sitting in the restaurant. I was signing for people who didn't even know who I was. The dumb thing is, I was signing my own name. They're like, who's Jim Blaylock? Nobody. But you know, these poor people were so hungry for identity. They lined up for autographs from someone they didn't even know. They just said, he must be famous. Let's get his autograph. Granted, they're Michiganders, so keep that in mind. The Fun family? Fun family doesn't need any of that. We have our identity. Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Our Father is great. Our Father is good. Our Father is glorious. Our Father is generous. Our Father is gracious. Number six, finally, I want you to notice. Our Father is guaranteed. Look at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, in other words, unlike my earthly father, who I love, who I baptized, whose funeral I preached 7 years ago, unlike my dad, my heavenly father will never need a visit in the hospital or prayer for strength or memorial service. Beloved, our Father is eternal in the heavens, and guess what? That's exactly why I will also see my earthly father one day again. The only reason salvation is guaranteed is that our Father is guaranteed. What a family we have. You young people in this room, you know, Satan's going to come to you and tempt you to kind of look over the fence and say, look at those families out there. They're crazy. They're wild. There's a lot of pleasure out there. Remind you, the Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. This is the Fun family. God's household of faith, God's people. The children in this family aren't perfect, but our Father is. And when He's done with us, we're going to be just like His Son. What does that mean, Pastor? That means trust Him, obey Him, serve Him. Little boy did something wrong he wasn't supposed to do, and he went against his father's instruction on it. And so all day long he was worried and he was troubled, and his friend saw him and he said to him, you're afraid of your father hurting you, aren't you? And the boy said, no, I'm afraid of hurting my father. Would to God that would be our attitude. We're afraid of hurting our father. This is a father, little boys in the playground. I did it in Little League baseball. In fact, I exaggerated. My dad can throw a ball from home plate over the center field fence. Couldn't do that, but in my mind he could. We brag about our dads, our earthly dads. This is a father. This is the only father who will never disappoint you, and who you can never oversell to a lost and dying world. Our Father in heaven, we're reminded of the words of your Son on this earth when He said, I do always those things that please my Father. I pray, Father, that as often we stumble and come so far short of that, I pray that more and more we will follow that example, following the footsteps of Jesus, so that more and more we can say we do those things that please you as our Father. Thank you for loving us when we were unlovely. Thank you for loving the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And the pain and the suffering and the shame that He suffered so that we could bring many sons to glory. I pray, Father, we will not be ashamed ever of you, our Father, and of your Son and the message, the only way to have access to you. May we not only not be ashamed, Father, but may we proclaim it to this lost and dying world. We'll praise you for what's done in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.